Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 8 consecutive years. Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more. At Arizona State University, we are committed to our students' success. That's why our online educational experience is unmatched. You'll access our state-of-the-art adaptive learning technology that fosters innovative thinking and inspires collaboration with faculty and peers. Explore more than 300 world-class programs offered online, all designed to empower our students to become the next generation of critical thinkers and innovators. Visit asuonline.asu.edu.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man!
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
How many of you are fans of George Carlin? Remember George Carlin? He's passed away now. And George Carlin was a quintessential classical liberal. And he, even though he was a former Catholic and ended up making a lot of his comedy routines off of attacking the Catholic Church and in a funny way that even we Catholics kind of chuckled at a little bit because of the way he represented things. But George Carlin was a guy who, kind of like Bill Maher, these guys with incredibly sharp minds, but you know, left leaning, but they don't want to undermine their ability to speak freely, and they have been doing this dance with the devil, in my opinion, the left wing, for many moons, but these guys also had a innate ability to try to speak truth to power in a comedic way. Bill Maher does it today, the power that is now in the hands of left-wingers, the most dangerous. In the hands of conservatives, power, I mean, unless they abandon their principles, which the conservatives shouldn't, but if they don't abandon their principles, that the principles of conservatives are freedom, liberty, prosperity. Democrats have never advocated for those things in earnest, policy-wise. And so power for power's sake, I think, is dangerous in any ideology, political persuasion. Let me say that. I think it's more dangerous in the hands of left-wingers. And I think that there's been a reluctance of guys like Carlin, of guys like Bill Maher, and others who have been traditional liberals, and all of a sudden they look at the monster they created. And I think Maher is doing that a lot these days, going, oh my gosh, I can't believe the pansies the left has turned into, and so willing to abandon their rights and their freedoms. And George Carlin, he nailed it several years ago about the elites. Now, I've seen some of his early stuff. Some of the early comedic routines from George Carlin are pretty middle of the road, pretty benign. And I think it takes time in the saddle, as I have had now in my 50s, it takes time in the saddle to recognize some of these patterns, to be able to recognize the BS when you hear it, and to see something and divine that something is real or genuine. So here's Carlin. I think he nails it. I think he nails what America's problem is today. And perhaps he was seeing this, reading the tea leaves a few years ago. Perhaps he was seeing the stitches on the fastball a lot sooner than the rest of us. Have a listen.
Because that's all you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the f***ing money. Fairly simple thing happens to work.
Now, that's not just a concept that deals with monetary compensation. That's also a concept with power, self-determination, the innate desire by some to rule over others. And those who seek the power of government often do want to exert that power over others. There used to be a certain segment of our elected class that sought to maintain everybody's freedoms consistent with the Constitution. That universe is shrinking day by day by day.
You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the shit out of the middle class. Keep them showing up at those jobs.
Uh-huh. Keep them showing up at those jobs. The class warfare that we have been treated to in this country that has served to divide us dating back to the Civil War. And that war goes on today. And the people that are rolling it out constantly, they have the United States of America is the last thing they want to see. The show behind the show roars your way next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Do you support the sanctity of life? Our military, our veterans, our first responders? Well, so does Patriot Mobile. They have great discounts for all of those folks, plus you multi-line users out there. But that's not where Patriot Mobile stops. They continue their support by donating millions every single year to conservative causes that you and I care about. And if that isn't enough to get you to switch, how's about the fact that Patriot Mobile isn't limited to just one network? They have all three major carriers. That means they provide an industry-leading coverage guarantee. Need more reasons to switch? When you go to patriotmobile.com/storm and you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support me. So you get great value, support the causes you love, and keep your liberty-loving Latino's voice independent, all for making the switch and putting your hard-earned money that you're already spending to work at battling the woke. Call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/storm. Use the promo code STORM. That gets you free activation. 972-PATRIOT at patriotmobile.com/storm.
Tired of cable news lying to you? It's time the establishment media went the way of the dinosaurs and for free digital journalism to rise. At Texas Scorecard, we bring you real news for real Texans with no paywalls ever. Go to texasscorecard.com today.
Folks, time for the show behind the show, and here he is, Sean Chastain. By the way, programming note, heading out on vacation, buddy. So next Monday's offering is probably going to be pre-recorded what we call in the business an evergreen.
Oh, right. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a little fishing, doing a little outdoorsing with my brother and my pop.
Well, cool. That'll be awesome, man.
Yeah, kind of a guy's weekend. So what do you got this week, my man?
Well, not much. Tried to do a little show prep as far as watching the debate.
Oh.
And lasted about 10 minutes. I couldn't do it, man. Martha and Brett just lost total control, and it was ridiculous. It was unwatchable to me. And then, you know, to hear all the talking heads afterward about who did what and how great somebody was and how terrible other people were, and just, I don't know. It was nonsense because they were just all talking over each other the whole time, and I couldn't handle it.
Well, I didn't watch.
Does that make me a bad American? Because I mean, no. I guess I should be paying that kind of attention, but
no,
couldn't do it. Man.
I think what it makes you is, see, and there's this whole dynamic. Oh, if I didn't watch them and all of their sage bickering and arguing like 8-year-olds,
yeah.
You know, does that make me a bad American? No, actually, it makes you just an American, and it means that they've got to up their game, you know, frankly. Yeah. And look, my biggest concern going into this was that all of the attention would be paid to trashing Trump, and
yeah.
And that lost in this is the amount of harm being done to our people, whether it be economically, through the rule of law, the illegal immigration nonsense, that we're all focused on this little drama in Washington, D.C., and lost in the discussion is we the people.
Yeah, you're right. I think we the people are waking up, though, as we talked a little bit about it last week with the Oliver Anthony smash hit with Richmond, north of Richmond, and mm-hmm. and the fallout from that, and the reaction to Trump's mugshot, how he's just raking in the cash, selling T-shirts with that on it. And I don't know, man. I get the sense that there's about to be some huge movement. And got the sense last time, you know, in the 22 elections that there's going to be this huge tidal wave and, you know, everything's going to be bliss because we're going to have control of the House and the Senate. Didn't quite happen that way. And I don't know. So I'm trying not to get too pumped up about it. But I just get the sense that people are really tired.
I think so, too. By the way, 7.1 million since Thursday, President yeah. Trump has raised off of the mugshot that the left wing. I mean, and John Bolton was ticked off. He was angry that that Trump didn't go slink away into a corner like he's supposed to. Look, what you were just saying there, I got into an off-air conversation with somebody about this very thing, about what you're feeling and what you're noticing, and this all centers around President Trump and why they're going after him so hard. Do you know about this movement of states, Secretary of States being pressured now to take him off the ballot?
Oh, I'm sure. They're going to try everything they can, yeah.
But so that and effort, I was talking with somebody about that effort, and they said, man, they just aren't bothering to hide it anymore, are they? It's all about making sure he never gets back into the Oval Office because the America First agenda gets in the way of permanent Washington's agenda, whatever the hell that is. And I said to this person I was talking to, and I'm actually glad you brought it up because I wanted to bring it up to you. Now, if they start throwing people at President Trump off the ballots in key states, you're going to see what you were alluding to take shape. And then the American people are left in a quandary. You know, what do we do? I know that those in government are just waiting. They're just waiting for somebody to get squirrely so they can clamp down, so they can just bury our rights, bury everything, and just overwhelming force. You know, all it takes is one act of violence from the government and everybody's scared out of their minds. And Joe Biden's been telegraphing this, man, saying, you know what? What are you people going to do against F-16s? Joe Biden's been saying that crap out loud. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I hope there's no violence that comes out of it, but I think you're going to see a lot of very strong protests if that does happen. And I think the reason I'm getting the sense that people are just fed up is that it's just so blatant that they aren't trying to hide it. They aren't trying to skirt it. They aren't trying to find loopholes and stuff. They're just flat out against him, against Trump, against us. and with the DOJ and the silliness that's going on with the Biden crime family. And, you know, it's just so blatant that it's really frustrating. And that's why I think you're going to see at least one of the biggest turnouts at voting that we've ever seen. And hopefully it doesn't come to violence, you know.
I hope so.
If they do start pulling Trump's name off the ballots, that you're going to see some pretty serious marches, I would think.
Well, you would. And again, and I don't think it'll be somebody, you know, in the crowd that is probably a member of law enforcement, undercover law enforcement, who starts the melee, and then it all goes to pot, because I can't shake this feeling that the government wants this to happen, that they're just pushing. Yeah. And either way, if you look at it, we're screwed. We can either let it all happen, and this is the pays de resistance. You either let it happen and you lose your rights, you lose your ability to choose who you want to be president, or you fight back, and then they clamp down, martial law, all this, and then it's all gone anyway. So it's a really fine line you got to walk, yeah?
Yeah, I don't see it coming to that. I really don't. I just, because, you know, I mean, the people who are in, the people who would do that kind of stuff, who would take names off ballots and stuff, they're also elected. And they, like every other one of those establishment types, want to keep their power, you know? So
yeah,
they start throwing that crap around, they'll get voted out pretty darn quick.
Well, you would hope, but as you know, the skepticism of the integrity of the voting system around this country is also, you know, it's out there, and a lot of people would cry BS just by, you know, the fact that some people weren't following the rules, and you can't beat them, so you just throw them off the ballot. And then, we're going to vote you out. And these guys appear, you know, these secretaries of state, other officials, they seem to know something we don't. And because they're brazenly acting, you know, I don't care what the people say. I don't care what they say. We're going to do this. And that has me concerned.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with that kind of stuff that much. So,
well, how about this?
Blissfully ignorant, I guess.
How about this? Biden's alcohol czar says the U.S. may follow Canada in limiting the number of beers you can drink in a week to two.
I feel like it slowed down too many Canadians. So I'm not that worried about it. I mean, it is pretty silly that, you know, they put, I mean, I guess for medical reasons, I don't know. I would imagine they could come out and say, there was no amount of alcohol that is good for you, so don't drink any. But they're not going to prohibit you from drinking it.
No, these are so, quote unquote, these are recommendations.
Guidelines. I mean, you have to. I guess you don't have to, but you kind of have to have guidelines if you're, you know, if you're the government and making recommendations and holding Senate hearings and crap like that they all want to do. It's a guideline. So,
you know, I can't see, and here's
abide here, by it or not.
Well, here was my take. My take was this. Yeah. We're actually paying somebody. There's actually an alcohol czar. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually spending time on this, trying to suggest to Americans what the amount of beers they should have every week. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's the biggest picture. I mean, the guidelines, I don't care, because I can take heed or I can ignore them.
Well,
and I think that's what most Americans will do. But no, your point is the best one. Yeah, which,
on the recommendation front, that's how they got by during the China virus. And you saw how they how they use that. Oh, no, we're not telling you. We're just recommending. And then all these employers started coming out and forcing the jab, right? So if you're on the job and your employer's insurance says, well, the federal government recommends you only have two beers, so if it's determined you're having more than two beers, you know, per week, we may increase your insurance costs.
I don't know how. I mean, you're gonna have to be piss testing every day then. So, I don't know if there's enough labs for that.
Don't put it past them, dude. Don't put it past them.
Well, I think that's a little far-fetched,
you know what? I never thought they'd be policing, you know, the food you eat, and you saw what they're doing with these physical requirements every single year on the insurance policies. It just gets more and more and more intrusive, right?
It does. And then the things that bother me more than the suggestion that I don't have more than two beers a week are things that they're doing with the appliances, the ceiling fans now is the latest.
I didn't hear about the ceiling fans. What are that?
Yeah, there's I don't know. There's some new ceiling fan deal. I didn't really get into it either, but just saw that was another thing they're coming after is the ceiling fan.
And so let me see. There's stoves, water heaters, air conditioning units, the light bulb. I mean, seriously,
gas powered homes like mine is.
Yeah,
it's all gas, so. My dryer's even gas, so that's awesome because
I know
they dry fantastic,
and it's much more efficient.
Yeah, and you know, just that stuff concerns me more because they're unelected people that are making those regulations, and boom, it just happens, you know.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden your air conditioner unit goes out, and now you got to spend $15K on a new one.
Yeah,
you know, for a 900 square foot house like I live in. And that's ridiculous.
And they don't care. That's the whole thing.
No,
they
I know, and they don't care. And they all, you know, this whole green movement. They think, oh yeah, it's all, you know, we're going to save the planet. And it just infuriates me that unelected people have that much power.
And you know what the problem is? It's our elected people who turned it all over to them, the administrative state. And
the establishment, man. I tell you. I'm just so fed up, and I've said this so many times before that I don't even care if I vote anymore because it doesn't seem to matter. Of course it does, and I need to, and everybody needs to, because that's the only voice we really have. So, but it sure is frustrating knowing these establishment types don't care enough to stop those unelected people from enforcing all these regulations.
Yep. It's all an automatic pilot. Everybody gets an automatic raise every single year. Yeah. Every government agency gets more money every single year. And these so-called representatives and these so-called senators, they go up there and it's just like, automatic pilot. You know what? Yeah. We should be at zero line budgeting every year. Meaning every single year, every agency has to resubmit a new budget to justify what they got the first year, to justify it. And then if they want more, that would entail that our elected representatives stop doing all of their electioneering, you know, every 6 or 2 years and actually do some work, right? And our government is so big, these people, the 535 folks up there have no prayer of properly administering it. No prayer.
Right.
And the cautionary tale there is make your government smaller.
And I don't know how that happens realistically. I mean, because it must be so intoxicating there in D.C. that once you go there with the highest of hopes to make government smaller and change things, that man, you get a little bit of power and it just overwhelms your sensibilities. And, you know, Mr. Smith comes home from Washington then.
Yeah, what a perfect segue into this last story. The Capitol Hill police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt. Mm-hmm. And for the record, folks, Ashley Babbitt was an Air Force veteran, female, unarmed, and by the video that I've seen, she was crawling through a window.
Yeah. Shouldn't have been doing that.
Yes, and let's state for the record, you should not have been doing that. However, with a police officer seeing she was unarmed, she wasn't raising an arm to the police officer to gun her down. A lot of people thought that was excessive. Of course, if Ashley Babbitt were black, that's all we'd be talking about right now. But because she was white and an Air Force veteran and an alleged Trump supporter, nobody in government or the media cares. Now, the Capitol officer who shot her and killed her, an unarmed Air Force veteran that was not threatening him, the man who shot her is now being promoted. What do you think?
Okay. You know my background. My dad was a cop.
Yep.
And so I'm going to side with the police 99% of the time, because 99% of the time they're in the right.
And I'm with you.
So I don't know the exact situation. I've seen the same video you that you have. Mm-hmm. Didn't see it from his body cam. Didn't see anything else other than her, you know, somebody smashing the window and she climbing through it. And so I'm not going to pass judgment on that cop just yet because I don't know the whole story and nobody else does either. Now, what we do know is that, yeah, you got a dead, unarmed female Air Force vet. But who was breaking the law? Who was doing something bad?
Yeah.
Now, whether that cop saw some other threat somewhere else, you know, maybe she had a cell phone in her hand, a black cell phone that looked like some kind of weapon. I don't know. And, you know, in that split second when he pulls the trigger, there was a reason for it. And so until I have proof that he was just out to gun people down who were coming in the Capitol willy-nilly, you know, I'm not going to pass too harsh a judgment on him. Now, as far as the promotion goes, it's probably all time on the job. So if, you know, if that's what's warranted because of his time on the job or he passed certain tests or whatever he had to do to get promoted, well, then he must have achieved all those things and he gets promoted.
Yeah. Well, man, if this were a different situation, a police officer.
Well, yeah, but it's not. No, so that's the only thing. You asked me what I thought about his promotion, and that's what I'm telling you.
We can all
speculate that if it was a black guy coming in through the window that got killed by some white cop, you know, of course it'd be. He'd be
out of a job. And why do we know that? Because they are. And that's when, and the circumstances, by the way, that I understand what you're saying. What he saw in that moment, we cannot really know, but there was no evidence video-wise, nor evidence from his own testimony, that he believed that she was armed. He never even considered she was armed, but she posed a quote-unquote threat. Now, he's never had to explain exactly what threat was she posing that required you to shoot her.
Well, again, you don't know that because you aren't in the internal investigations that they all go through and stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just not going to, and maybe it is bias on my part because of my dad being a cop, but just until you're in on every single meeting, every single trial, every single interview, you just don't know until you see the body cam footage from him and any other available footage, you know, you don't know. And did he fire accidentally? Did he fire when he shouldn't have? Was the threat not the threat that he thought it was? We don't know.
Right.
So.
And you know what? The one thing I have not seen from this officer is a statement of remorse in case if he did fire in error, it's not come out. And if he did, you would expect the police officer to say, you know, I feel terribly about it. Never has. So
it's not his job to do that. So, I mean, you don't know, Chris, he may be up every single night crying himself to tears, you know, or crying himself to sleep.
Yeah.
Because he has such remorse. We just don't know. And I don't think it's his duty to come out and tell the world that he does that. We know the stress that cops are under every day. They see stuff that they can't even talk about without, you know, therapy sessions. And most of them don't get the therapy sessions, and that's why they end up killing themselves. We just saw this here in the Metroplex the other day. A veteran officer, 18 years I think he had on the force, has to shoot a suspect, a guy that needed shooting, to tell you the truth, that was doing really bad stuff, shooting at him, and might have even injured the cop. I forget the whole details. But anyway, the cop that shot the guy ended up shooting himself the next day. So, you know, you don't understand the stress these cops are under every single day, the stuff they see, and the stuff they can't talk about for the rest of their lives. I know because I've witnessed it firsthand with my dad. And so I'm not going to pass a whole lot of harsh judgment on any cop.
All right, man. Hey, we have the week off next week, you and me. The show behind the show will take a 1 week hiatus when I'm on vacation. And then I'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time, my man.
All right, dude. Go enjoy it.
I think I shall. I think I'll be thinking of all of you when I am out there casting the pole and trying to bring in that 3, 4, 5 pound trout. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Visit two websites, TexasScorecard.com and ChrisSalcedo.com. That's how you keep up to date with the big news in Texas and the big news with me. And we've got something changing when we get back from vacation. Make sure you're listening to the radio show for those changes. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by government. It's measured by how much power is reserved for we, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.
Hello, friends. We're Milo's, makers of delicious teas and lemonade. While we may be new to you, we're not new to delicious. In fact, our family's been using high-quality ingredients to freshly make our delightfully refreshing, preservative-free, sweet-as-summer, homemade-tasting, joyful jugs of deliciousness for generations. So come find us in the refrigerated section, grab a jug, and get ready for a first sip you're never gonna forget. We're Milo's. Obsessed with delicious.